In a world that can be challenging, and at times unpredictable, it's hard to find moments to focus on what you need. Join Stephanie James on The Spark as she guides you to use your inner flame to ignite your best life. As a best-selling author, psychotherapist, transformational life coach, and international show host, Stephanie is dedicated to helping you create a life that takes you, your goals, and your passions to the next level, so you can live a life that is fully lit up and fully alive. She believes that your life is meant to be a beautiful expression of the things that light you up, that by living your dreams, you give permission to others to do the same. Are you ready to feel alive and inspired to fuel your dreams and put a fire behind your desires? Let's ignite a spark in one another that will illuminate the world. The Spark, with your host, Stephanie James, starts now.
Welcome to The Spark. I'm your host, Stephanie James. So happy to have you here tonight. So happy to receive the wonderful notes and letters. I love hearing from you, love hearing what you want to have on the show, your experience, your thoughts, and what is important to you matters to me. So thank you so much. We have a very special guest tonight, Dimitri Moridis. And I'm so thrilled to have Dimitri here. He is the co-author of the book, Heaven and Your Spiritual Evolution, a book that he co-authored with Barbara Y. Martin, and also co-founder of Spiritual Arts Institute in Encinita, California. So thrilled to have you with us, Dimitri. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's a delight to be here. Thank you for having me on your show.
Yes. Yeah. Well, so I know that there's a lot of history. Before we jump into the new book, I think it's important to talk a little bit about where your roots come from and how you got started in this whole amazing, you know, spiritual path that you've been on.
Right, right. Well, I've been on it for many years. I'm living in the San Diego area now. I moved to California to pursue a career in the entertainment business, film and television, things like that. And at some point, I was having these at the time, I wasn't thinking at all. I didn't know what metaphysics was at that time. I was artistic. I was a musician, and my mind was in the creative bent. But I was having what I used to call these inspiration moments where I just was in a different place. And it was very beautiful. It was very grounded, but very elevating. And that eventually led to my spiritual awakening, which I call it more like my Saul on the road to Damascus moment. It was dramatic. Again, at the beginning, I still didn't understand what it was, but something had fundamentally changed. And then when I figured out what it really was, I couldn't get enough. I started studying everything metaphysical. Again, LA was actually a good place to do that. And about a year later, I'm invited to this dinner party, and they say, "No, there's this woman. I know you like metaphysical things. She's going to do a meditation." And it was Barbara, right? And she does this meditation. Afterwards, I start to talk to her, and I realize, oh my God, the depth of knowledge this woman has. Now, she was considerably older than me. And by the end of the evening, I said, this is my teacher. I found my teacher. Yeah. And so we started working together, teacher-student, but right away we started to, it's almost like she was preparing me for other things. And we got into writing right away. And then it was some years later when we started the Institute that I didn't realize she was grooming me to be a teacher too. I still thought I was going to be more helping her and moving that along. But it eventually became, she was kind of training me to take over, you know, when she's finishing her work there. I have to talk, of course, about Barbara. It's an exceptional soul. 3 years old, she was starting to see auras. And this was in the Depression era. This was way back when, right? And she didn't know what it was, but she said, I knew I was attracted to people that had these pretty colors, and I was detracted to those that didn't have those gray colors, you know? And it wasn't until she was about 11, she was also interested in the arts, and she was in acting. And there was a theater stock company run by Dorothy Lamas, and she was a member of that troupe, even at 11 years old. But she said, one day Dorothy invited me to her house. I thought, oh, she's going to kick me out. She doesn't like my acting. You know, And Dorothy started questioning her about things like, well, how do you see things? So, well, what do you mean? I see things fine. So, oh, she's talking about that. And she said, you can see the aura, can't you? And it was the first time Barbara actually heard the word. And she said, oh, that's what it's called. And Dorothy turned out to be a hermetic scientist, which is an ancient mystical study. Her mother, grandmother, she had this lineage. And she started teaching Barbara, you know, about her talents. And then that empowered her to understand what was going on. She came to California later during the golden age of Hollywood, initially started a career doing variety shows, very successful ones. And she was offered this very lucrative career. But at the same time, she was having a lot of spiritual experiences. And she got this inspiration, no, entertainment's not your destiny. Metaphysics is your destiny. So then she started slowly building that career, started, you know, the classes and things like that. And then some years later, of course, I met her. And then it's been a really good partnership because, you know, we've built now this organization. It's now become worldwide. And it's really to get these teachings to create a legacy so they live a long time. And this book I'm particularly excited about because it really kind of, our first book, Change Your Aura, Change Your Life, told the world, let's say, what we do. We meditate with light. But this book says who we are. We're geared to spiritual growth. That's what this is about. So I'm really happy that we're able to talk about these things. And as you know, 30 years ago, yes, it was interesting, but not like today. This, it was considered fringe back then. Meditation was considered an odd thing to do back then. Yoga, oh my God, you're like, you know, now it's like, you know, it's in schools, right? So the world is definitely kind of caught up, and it's really an exciting time right now for all of this.
You know, it is. And I know that even when people used to hear the word metaphysical, they'd go, right, oh, that means woo-woo.
Exactly.
And, you know, I loved even Joe Dispenza in his book, Becoming Supernatural. Mm-hmm. He talked about how, you know, as a scientist, he really had avoided that term
right
for years, but there are things that are beyond the natural world. And he said, yeah, I needed to talk about these things that now we're able to talk about because of the quantum, you know, quantum mechanics and understanding quantum physics. So that now there's other languaging for these things, but the truth is it is supernatural and it is metaphysics.
Beyond, exactly, beyond the physical. And the thing to realize is that which is beyond the physical isn't out there. It's a part of nature. It's just nature that's operating in ranges beyond physical sensing. So we have to realize we are not our body. We are not a physical being. We're inhabiting this body, but the essence of who we are is not physical at all. So if you're trying to, you can't just say I'm just one part of the body. You have to look at the total of who you are. Yes, we have a physical form, but we have the spiritual essence. And you have to get in touch with that if you want to really live a fulfilling life. And I'm just very happy that the world, in a way, is slowly waking up. We call it the spiritual renaissance. You know, we're moving in this era, and it's happening all over the world. It's not just happening one piece of the world, or not one person isn't leading it. It just seems to be this like grass that's growing everywhere. And it's like, okay, it's time. It's time for humanity to, in a way, yeah, make a quantum leap upward.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, truly, I've had so many people I've spoken with that talk about the Great Awakening mm-hmm. as the time that we're in right now.
Yeah.
And so I find it fascinating. You know, you're writing this book, Heaven and Your Spiritual Evolution. I imagine before all this was happening and during while this was happening, what do you find that the book in particular, are there certain parts of the book that really speak to some of the challenges we're going through now and ways that we can evolve through that?
Well, first of all, a couple of things. Number one, the book does try to clarify what spiritual growth actually is. Because you say you grow spiritually, what does that mean? Now, we know what it means to grow from a child to an adult. You know, child looks like this, the stages change, and now when they're grown. So we understand that growth, you know, a little bud of a flower into a full grown bush or, you know, a tree. We understand that growth. But what does it mean to really grow spiritually? And to understand that that is a rather specific thing. And to realize that challenges in our life, adversities, seen in the right lens, are opportunities. And that Earth is a school. And if school was always easy, we wouldn't be growing very well. So don't run away from your challenges. See them as opportunities, because it strengthens you. You know, it's like if you want to make your body strong, what do you have to do? You have to do resistance training, right? You have to push those muscles more than they're used to going. Otherwise, you'll never get strong. Well, if you want to be spiritually strong, you have to stretch your spiritual muscles beyond what you're comfortable with. And when you do that, first of all, there's nothing more satisfying than being faced with a challenge and conquering it. You know, it's like if you fall off a horse, what are you supposed to do? You get back on it again, or you'll never ride the darn horse again. You know, so yes, we are going through dramatic times, but we also have to realize this is the shaking of the tree. You know, there is some not so good things that have been around for quite some time. And in a way, we're at a period where all that's kind of coming out, almost like, you know, Barbara described it like, well, if there's an infection, you know, sometimes you have to lance it, let the pus come out so you can clean it, and then you can cover it. So we're a little bit in that pus cleaning stage right now. So don't get too worried about it. The higher our inspiration is, the world is actually getting better. If you compare the life today to 100 years ago overall, I mean, it's not even close. Lifespan, everything has greatly increased for the better. Is it perfect? Of course not. But we are in a better road. And it's very important to see the optimism, because if you think the world is falling apart, you're going to say, well, what's the point? Why should I even try? It's all going to pot anyway. But if you say, no, it's not going to pot. And I'm the one, I love Gandhi's line, you know, be the change you want to see in the world. Then you're going to feel much more motivated to do something and be a part, because when you're changing yourself, you really are changing the world, because you're part of the world. You're not separated from it. So this is a time not to be shy. This is a time not to be, this is the time to take bold steps. The other inspiration we've gotten is that, you know, there's never been a better time to grow spiritually than today. So despite the challenges, and by the way, the distractions, right? We've never been pounded by so many things saying, no, do this, no, do this, no, do this. I love Steve Jobs line there. I have to say no 1,000 times to the one thing I have to say yes to. So we have to also have to be careful what we choose to let into our life and what we have to say no to. We can't say yes to everything. We cannot taste every glass of wine. You know, we got to make sure we're doing the things that are essential to us, because that will bring the most joy and make the greatest contribution.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I just am resonating so much with what you're saying, Dimitri.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, that's a line that I love too, that we can actually be the change, that it really does start with us.
Right. Exactly. And you doing shows like this to get the word out. And hopefully when people listen, they're not just enjoying, but maybe it's motivating them to do more, you know. And it doesn't have to be giant steps. You don't have to solve all the problems of the world right away, but just take, you know, just do something out of the box every day of your life. Do something that you've never done before every day of your life, even if it's a little thing. And it keeps life exciting. And, you know, the last thing you want is to get routine and mundane. And I know we went through a kind of, you know, everybody kind of locked down and all of that, but it was just other opportunities, right? Because you could still make, you know, if you dealt lemons, make lemonade, still get through this. This time will pass, and hopefully we're going to be the better for it. We're going to learn the lessons that are brought out. And if it did shake our tree a bit, we also have to ask, okay, if my buttons got pushed, why? Why did they get pushed? Because that's a weakness in ourselves. And the other thing we share is you're supposed to really bless people that can push your buttons because they're showing something in you. Why did that even get under my skin to begin with? And then usually, again, there's a beautiful lesson there. And if we see all these as part of the spiritual growth, then we're going to put it all under the umbrella. Because I know sometimes even some of our students, they compartmentalize without intending to. They say, well, I have my job, I have my career, and then I have my spiritual life over here. And they don't see it as part of the same umbrella, you know, and it really is. And when you see it that way, everything becomes spiritual. It's not earth life and spiritual life. It's all spiritual.
Yeah, I love the book title by Sam Beasley, which is Your Life is Your Prayer.
Yeah, oh, that's a nice title. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that, because to me, that's exactly what you're talking about. It's like, it's, you know, our spirituality can flow through every moment of our lives. So it infuses, whether it's work or school or play, you know, it's not just sitting on our meditation mats.
Right, exactly. No, you can't sit a mountain meditating that you're going to become enlightened only by doing that.
Exactly.
You have to engage in life. You have to engage in life. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
so
we're going to be talking even more about this after the break. I'm so excited to talk to you more and dig in a little bit more to how people can do some of their own, you know, path walking, if you will. And for people that have not even started on this venture, what that might look like. So I have a lot of questions for you. I'm excited to come back after the break and looking forward to the audience for all of you to join us right after this.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease. From stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance, from the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio, and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Are limitations holding you back from living a powerful and authentic life? Are you able to see yourself and others through a lens of empathy and compassion? Tune into Awaken Your Truth with me, Ritika Rose, to discover how to free your mind, heal your life, and embody your power. Second and fourth Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, YouTube, and across all podcast stations. I'm on a mission to inspire a shift in you, so together we can collectively heal the world. To learn more about me, visit RitikaRose.com.
Even though your home base is one Enneagram type, you have characteristics of all the types. Tune in to Enneagram Conversations with Renee Siegel, the second and fourth Monday of each month at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn how you can unlock your unlimited potential. Visit YouArePurePotential.com for more about Renee and her work. That's the letter U, the letter R, PurePotential.com.
Not just talk, conversation for profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back. I'm Stephanie James, and I'm here with Dimitri Moraitis, and we're talking about his book, Heaven and Your Spiritual Evolution, that he co-wrote with Barbara Y. Martin. And, you know, part of what we were talking about, Dimitri, during the first part of the show is this, you know, people walking their spiritual paths. And that it's not just, you know, you do just one, you know, like people I know would just be Sundays, I'm very spiritual, I go to church or whatever. And then the rest of the week they would be, you know, in a very different space. So this is, how do we infuse this in our life? And How do people that aren't too far on the path, what would be some of your advice to them? What does it look like to just start opening up to that path?
Right, right. Well, first of all, if you got the prompting to even start, please follow through on it. Don't put it on the shelf and say, I'll get to it another time. That really is God knocking on your door. And if there was one thing we want the book to do, it's to make your spiritual development a higher priority in your life. We have some people say, you know, I don't have time to meditate. I'm way too busy. You know, well, why don't you make it the centerpiece of your day and watch how everything else kind of falls into place. So the key is to start. You don't have to jump into the deep end of the pool, but do start to pursue it. Now, we do strongly encourage meditation because meditation is your one-on-one time with the divine. It is sort of a temporary withdrawal from the activities of life so you can get in tune with the infinite. And then you go back out into life, hopefully empowered. Now, there are many different kinds of meditations, and you have to pick one that suits your temperament and what you're comfortable with. You have to enjoy the meditation. If it feels like work, there's nothing, you know, what's the point of doing it? Now, we meditate with divine light, where you request, and that meditation is actually sort of a meditation prayer. You're petitioning the divine, asking for something to bless you, and then you're meditating to receive it. And I've been doing that meditation over 37 years, and I can tell you it only gets better with time, and it really does help to empower you. The other is, and we say this about with the aura, you know, there's two ways you change your aura. One is through meditation and application, and the other really is through every good word, thought, act, and deed. The aura doesn't lie. Whatever's really going on with you is going to show up in that auric field. So you could say, no, that didn't bother me. I'm perfectly happy. And if all that energy is saying something else, it did bother you. You're not just saying it. You're just saying it isn't. So do something about it. So now study is good. You know, reading about spiritual things, trying to get a better picture of the spiritual world is good, because the more knowledge, like any study, the more knowledge you have, the better it is. And to be discerning, though, because not everything out there is of the equal quality. And unfortunately, there's no National Academy of Spiritual Studies to say, here's the standard. So we're a little bit on our own to kind of figure out, well, first of all, what resonates with me? And as we even say, don't accept what we're teaching at face value. Put it to the test. You know, your own experience will teach you what to do. So these are some of the things that we need to do. Actually, in the book, we do have four big keys. One of the keys is to simply make room for the spiritual life in your active life. If you're too busy doing other things, again, let's say you're planting a garden, but you don't make any room for the garden. What do you have to do? You have to clear the land. And then you say, here's where I'm going to plant the garden. You have to do that with your spiritual life too. So you can rearrange your life. You want to make sure you're in charge of your life not in charge of you. And you have to say, this is a high priority. And simply giving room for the divine does help fill the cup. Now, another thing we strongly encourage is to apply the principles that you're learning. When you're discovering something, when you learn something, let's say even the power of forgiveness. Well, if there's somebody that you haven't forgiven, you say, oh, you know, forgiveness is so important. And you're somebody right here in your life and you're not you though. You have to really say, and that's the gutsy part, right? You have to really to take the steps to really apply them in your life. Another thing we mentioned is, of course, knowledge. You know, the more knowledge you gain, there's a lot to learn. I've been studying, again, steady for 37 years, and there's always something more to learn. And then also healing. You know, there are going to be things in your life that you're going to have to change. And another, a way to think of healing is change. You're transforming one condition into another. So there may be things in your life that are not as great as could be, not, even if it's not a physical condition, it could be an emotional one, it could be a relationship. Don't ignore those things. Again, pay attention to them. And as you transform them, that increases your spiritual power and also your joy and your motivation to say, wow, you know, this really works. This is really exciting. And again, you're changing yourself and you're helping others too.
So these are such great steps. Which one have you found for yourself? Because you've been on this path for so long.
Right.
Helps you to kind of maintain when these challenges do come in, life inevitably throws at us. What keeps you on the path?
Well, first of all, you do have to be motivated. And you have to be honest with yourself and ask, okay, if I have a desire for this road, how strong a desire is it? You know, on the scale of 1 to 10, is it just a little bit, or is it like what we call a burning desire, right? Now, obviously, if I have a burning desire, after I had my awakening, I wasn't asking for it. It was a burning desire. So it was like these floodgates opened. So it was more in my thing about how to control it, because I was a little bit I thought the whole world thought like I did in those days. And maybe I spoke too much at times, and I learned, oh, okay, not everybody's sharing the same experiences I'm having. So, and they have the right to be where they are. I'm not judging them, but also I shouldn't try to just shout from the rooftops all the time. But I have found that generally meditation is a great start, because the act of meditating does so many things on your behalf. And I know, like, if I skip a meditation a day, I meditate every day and sometimes twice a day. And if, things, I miss something, it does feel like something's missing. And, but as we say, it's not just the meditation, it's the application. So for example, in the aura, there's an actual energy of prosperity. It's a consciousness, and it comes through as this beautiful turquoise light. So you've got a lot of turquoise light in your aura. Either something really good's about to happen, or you are in that wealth consciousness. So let's say I'm worried about money, and I'm going to have a worry consciousness, not a wealth consciousness, right? So if I bring in that turquoise, that can help get me back into that wealth vibration. But then if afterwards I go back to my worries, it's sort of like taking two steps forward and then two steps back. So what you want to say is, look, maybe the world hasn't changed immediately, but I've changed. And as long as I hold to that which is true, it will change. And that change your aura, change your life, is that if it's in your aura, it will show up in your life. That is a divine law. But you've got to nurture it in your heart. And sometimes you do have to nurture it for a little while till it, till it manifests. So pay attention to the voice in your head, what you're really saying to yourself. If you're hearing things like low self-esteem or, oh, well, this will never happen. If there's all those doubting Thomases in your head, you've got to change that, because you've got to create the environment in your own consciousness of what you want to see in the outside world. And to know that you have the power to do that, and that it's part of your God-given right, shall we say, but you do have to exercise it. It's not going to happen by itself. The muscle can get strong, but it's not going to get strong just doing nothing. You have to use the muscle, and then it gets strong. So start using those spiritual muscles, and you may be surprised at how strong you can really get.
I think that's exactly, it's through repetition mm-hmm. that, number one, we learn things, and that's how we build our muscles. When we do something in repetition, you don't just lift weights once, put them down, and you're like, wow,
I did it. I'm done.
I'm fit for life. Yeah. It takes a little more energy than that.
That would be interesting if that were true.
Yeah, it would.
We'd all be walking around like this, right?
Right. Well, and that's why we call it a spiritual practice, right? It's a
exactly,
practice.
Exactly. So, and you can hit a huge key. It has to be a lifestyle choice. Mm-hmm. What you're really doing is you're saying, I want to incorporate this in my life. And it does sometimes take a little while. We have an introductory course on all of this. And interestingly, sometimes it takes even the whole course just to get into a meditative practice, because we say it's much better to meditate even 15 minutes a day every day than when do one giant meditation on Sunday, let's say, because the consistency. And actually, they even found this out now scientifically. I'm sure you probably know this, that you know, 30 years ago, the Dalai Lama asked the scientific community to do some research on the monks that were, you know, they called them Olympic meditators because some of them had accumulated like 60,000 hours of meditation. I mean, that's a lot of meditating, you know. And they discovered that there were physiological changes in the brain. And one of the scientists that was studying it said, it's a little bit like, you know, if I bite into a delicious apple, there is a sensation of pleasure that is registered in the brain. Well, they found that these monks were like operating at that level. They didn't need an apple to get that sensation. And then when they went to meditation, it went even more off the charts. So one of the basic things they showed is that if you meditate 30 minutes a day, every day for 3 months without fail, and it's serious meditation, you know, there's a discernible physiological change in the brain. So you really are not only changing your inner self, you're changing your biology.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that is so exciting to me. I mean, I've read research where they did, again, also with monks, mm-hmm. and did a longitudinal study for 5 years. And what was crazy to me is at the end of those 5 years, the control group, which were the people that were meditating every day, each person grew prefrontal cortex brain matter. And even if it's a couple millimeters, we know, I mean, that's thousands and hundreds of thousands of brain cells, right? So I just think that, yeah, I mean, it serves us in so many ways. And so it does become the way that we can reground ourselves and shut off the, you know, the false beliefs and the chatter that you were talking about that.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, that can bombard us. Yeah.
And by the way, for people, let's say that may do a lot of prayer, they may say, well, I pray. Isn't that enough? Now, prayer is beautiful too, because, well, it's like the compliment, you know, prayer, we say it's like a petitioning. It's a sending out. You're trying to connect with the divine through prayer, and meditating is receiving. So actually do both. Do your prayer work and do your meditative work. And then that's a beautiful combination, and it will serve you well. We're really meant to do that. I mean, society hasn't necessarily trained us that way, but really it should be a practice of us all.
Yeah, I love the thought of that. To me, that when I visualize that, it's like an infinity sign.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that it just flows to and from and... Yeah, I love that. Yeah. So we're almost ready for a break again. And I'm wondering, Dimitri, when we come back, would you be willing to just share with us? I'm so fascinated with the stories of your own evolution. And we all have those, what I call peak moments, things where, you know, you had your spiritual awakening. And I imagine there's been other things in your life that through your spiritual evolution have mm-hmm. really been astounding or amazing. So I'm wondering if you'd be willing to share some of those stories when we come back.
Okay.
And we'll be talking about the book, Heaven and Your Spiritual Evolution, all that and more when we come back.
Do you question what an authentic life really looks like? Tune in to The Alley Effect with Allison Blythe, authentically living life your way. Every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Allison Blythe brings you tools, resources, and actionable steps toward your very best life. Take responsibility for your own happiness. For more about Allison, visit Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Blythe, B-L-Y-T-H-E.com.
Your own innate brilliance already lives inside of you. Come discover it so you can shine brightly in this world. Join me, your host, Adrienne Cobb, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, during My Wild Magic on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get answers to who you are and where you belong. To learn more about me and the show, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
Are you ready to move? Join me, Jenny C. Cohen, on my show, Dance to Heal, Transformation Through Movement, and learn how movement through dance can heal you. I am an award-winning performer, mother of two, comedian, and creator of Dance to Heal Wellness. Tune in every first and third Friday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more or work with me, visit JennyCCohen.com.
Life can be demanding, and you may feel like you're constantly on the go, but sometimes our wheels are spinning and we're too focused on making them turn to notice we're stuck in the mud. Tune into The Pause with me, Ellen Wyoming Deloy, every second and fourth Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Learn how to stop, reflect, and start moving forward with intention. And if you're really looking to jumpstart your personal development, schedule a free consultation with me at ellenwyomingdeloy.com.
We're back in that jazz mood, aren't we? I don't know. What happened to the rap music, Benny? So, oh my gosh.
There you go.
Thank you, Benny.
I like it.
You're welcome.
I'm going to play that in my car.
Boy, I got to have me some baked something now. I'm telling you.
Welcome back to The Spark. I'm your host, Stephanie James. I am here with Dimitri Moraitis, and I'm so excited. We've been talking about heaven and your spiritual evolution, his new book with Barbara Y. Martin. And, you know, this is such a fascinating conversation. And we had talked earlier about just maybe a story or something that you could share that would tie into the book, actually.
Right.
What comes to mind, Dimitri?
I mean, a big part of the book is about the other side, the great beyond, the hereafter, whatever words you want to use, the other side and all of that. Now, I know there have been a lot of books written about it, but again, to kind of promote Barbara a bit here, I know a very few books that have been written based on 50 years of direct experience of being in those inner worlds. Now, what we teach is we all come from them. It's not really a strange world. We came from those inner worlds. We're here now, and we're going to go back to them when we're finished with this lap on Earth. But the key is the other side is not just for the day when it's time to cross over, when it's time to die. We're connected to those worlds now, and actually all the inspiration that's coming in is coming in through those realms. So the more we connect with them now, the stronger and higher and more developed inspiration we will have. Now, one of the things to remember about the other side is it's not one place. You know, the Bible says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." In the ancient days, the realms on the other side were called mansions or palaces. So there are many dimensions, and the other side is sort of tiered. It's according to levels of consciousness. And right now, you and I are vibrating to one of those levels today. So I say, if it were my day to cross over to the other side, I take the light I've earned today, not what I had yesterday or may have tomorrow, and make that leap to that dimension of life. It's not really reward or punishment. It's like attracting like. Now, years ago when I started with Barbara, we were doing some work, and I will share this from the book and then tie it to my own. It might be startling for some to realize that while you may not be clairvoyant or have literal out-of-body experiences, every soul on earth is periodically taken to the inner worlds for renewal and refreshments. And this happens at night while we sleep. It doesn't happen every night, but periodically the divine knows you need to keep those connections to the spiritual worlds. And especially sometimes if a very big decision is going to be made, gee, do I want to have kids? Or what about this big job offer? Or, you know, something that could change the whole course of our life. We will go to those inner worlds for guidance and direction. And there is a process, you know, that helps to facilitate that once you kind of understand that happens. And one time, you know, as Barbara had taught us about this is when I was, you know, early as her student, And yes, one night I did bring back memory from those worlds. And the memory was being in this very beautiful, scenic, pastoral setting. And by the way, the other side is not like, you know, nebulous or dreamland or woo-woo. It's very real over there. And what struck me so strongly was the divine presence was absolutely everywhere. You didn't question if God existed. It was in the atmosphere. And when I came back, I was on a high for 3 days. That was the first time I had an experience like that, to realize not only is it real, and of course, this is one of the higher dimensions. Not all of them are that splendid, you know, but this was a higher one. Not that I think I needed the inspiration, but to make me really aspire to say, look, you need to aspire to those higher dimensions. And that's one of the points of the whole book is, you know, we have this path, but the path is meant to lead somewhere. Each of us have what we call a potential, a spiritual potential. Okay, if the evolution is like climbing a ladder, and we're all destined for this glorious place, whatever lifetime it's going to take to achieve it, how far up the ladder can I go this lifetime? And that's why you want to keep pursuing your path, because you want to hit that mark. And whether you have a direct experience of the other side, it may or may not happen, but we're all blessed by the other side, and that's what's the most important thing. But it is real. I can tell you it is real.
That is just so, yeah, remarkable. And what an amazing, amazing experience.
Yeah.
I mean, and I bet somewhat hard to come down from that euphoria.
Well, it was. And I think that's why they're judicious with how they do it, because if you had it too often, you would say, what am I doing here?
Right.
And by the way, I don't want to discourage, because some may say, well, if it's so wonderful there, I'll just exit this world and go over there. No, it doesn't work like that. You know, there's a reason we're here. And by the way, the last thing you would ever want to do is cut your life short, because you're going to find yourself in no better state over there than here. And you're going to have to come back and finish what you didn't start. So if you know anybody that's even saying, hey, I think I'll just exit, you completely discourage them from that. But it's just to inspire you to know that, yeah, things may get rough here, but it's okay. You're part of a beautiful heritage. You're going to be part of it again. Get the things you need to take care of while you're here, and those inner worlds will continue to support you. And as you continue to evolve, yes, the veil does start to drop away, and you do start to become more aware that these things are real.
Yeah. Well, and so you, to tie this a little bit into your Spiritual Arts Institute, is that part of what you teach? I mean, you're teaching meditation and you're teaching how to walk down this path. Is that part of it? How to evolve?
Absolutely. The classes are all about spiritual evolution. Initially, Barbara was known for her work with the aura, but really she's a spiritual teacher, and what she really trained me as a spiritual teacher. And what a teacher does is doing exactly what you just said, help you. No one can do a growing for anybody else, but to help create the environment and facilitate your potential, whatever that potential may be. So the training classes are to awaken a greater knowledge of the inner worlds, a greater knowledge of you as a spiritual being, a greater knowledge of the support, you know, the angelic support we get from the other side, the whole thing, it's all tied together. That's why one of our programs is called the Seven Spiritual Arts, because there are multiple things you have to study. It's not just one thing, and they're all kind of interlinked together. So it's a two-year program, and it gives you a chance to kind of spread your wings and also develop your meditative skills. And it's based on, again, all these decades of study and work and application. And we've tested all these principles for ourselves. I live them every day. Barbara's lived them for her whole life, you know. Yeah.
Well, and you said it's worldwide. Is it available also online?
Yes. And that's the beauty, that now you can do it. I mean, my God, we live in a, look at what we're doing right now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is amazing. You're in Colorado, and I'm in San Diego, and we're having this conversation. So yes, you can join from anywhere in the world. We have a wonderful contingency that joins from Japan. God bless them. Sometimes they join not at the most convenient hour, but they're very determined. We have what we call, it's not just it's a blended. So people can join at our local offices or at our training center. And we have kind of these jumbo monitors you can join online at the same time. So it's sort of like a blended learning environment, which is really nice too, because the in-person experience is wonderful. And of course, the online is wonderful too. And now with the internet, and we started this in 2006 on the internet. The internet was not nearly as stable as it is today.
Yes, yes. Well, yeah. How fabulous. I mean, what an exciting opportunity. And, you know, you and Barbara have written other books together.
Yes, yes. We're actually interesting. We're doing a series based on the seven spiritual arts. So the first one was Change Your Aura, Change Your Life, about meditating with divine light. Second was the healing power of your aura, which is how do you use the auric energy to heal your body or mind and emotions. Then we did a great one on karma and reincarnation, that we all have unfinished business in this life. And we know it's like we came in chapter 15 and there's been this life before and life ahead of us. Then on communing with the divine, about the angels and the archangels as support systems. This one again is on your spiritual evolution, and two more coming up, one on the spiritual dimensions of the mind and being more inspired. And the other really about the heart chakra and about applying the spiritual laws in your life and how you can help facilitate that. So that's going to be the whole shebang.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's just fabulous. Great. So as we still have a little time here, I want to dig in deeper and make sure that, you know, what is some of the, I guess, other juice is the word that came to mind, but the juice from the book that you feel like is essential to share tonight.
Right. Well, it is a very comprehensive view of the other side. So, you know, for those of you that are metaphysicians have studied, we go into the astral worlds, the etheric worlds, the causal world, the heaven worlds. We go into all these dimensions, you know, that in quite detail to understand, first of all, how they're organized. And a couple of things again about the other side that's so wonderful. First of all, we're not subtly different people on the other side. You know, some people think, oh, I die, all my troubles are gone. And I'm just, so working on your character here translates to the other side. So you don't think I'll just, you know, I got a messy life here, I'll clean it up when I get home. No, do it now. But a beautiful thing about the other side is even though there are levels, it is guided by the divine. So imagine even life here now. Imagine that, you know, there is no corruption in the world, that leaders really are leaders. And you know, prosperity was more equitably distributed. It wouldn't make us suddenly saints, but boy, our life would be quite a bit smoother than maybe it is right now, you know. And that's more or less how it does operate there. And it's meant to be an inspiration for here, because there is a plan for this earth and the other side is helping to make it happen. What's happening now is not necessarily the actual plan itself, but how well humanity is responding to the plan. And they do say there's some, you know, there may be some challenges along the way, but we're heading towards a golden age. And we're going to be like the generations that are going to help make that happen. No one knows exactly when that turnkey may happen, but we are heading to more beautiful times and we're part of that process. So we came from a beautiful place. One of the things we share in the book is our cosmic story. You know, when we're kids, we love to say, Mommy, Daddy, where did I come from? How did it all start? You know, and we know how we physically started, but how did we spiritually start? How did all that come about? How did our soul, how did that part all get going? So we cover all of that in the book because we have a beautiful cosmic origin. And it means we're on this pilgrimage to return back to that origin, but not as infants as we were years, you know, ages ago, but as mature beings, co-creative with the divine process. We have all of us this glorious future ahead of us. So while we're still learning, there's a lot to look forward to.
Well, that is, I mean, talk about what we need to hear right now.
Yeah, I know. I think,
you know, that is such a wonderful message because people do get caught in, you know,
the gloom and doom,
the doom and gloom.
But remember, the motto of the news is if it bleeds, it leads. They always want to go for the stuff that will get your attention.
Right. Well, and that's exactly right. If it bleeds, it leads. I love that. But that's true, right? So it's, you know, and so we need to hear, you know, the good.
We need to hear the good. I've always wondered, why don't you say about the greatest things that are happening? Why is it always the bad stuff that's happening? Because I think I read somewhere that one of the most Googled words of all time is love. You know, that it isn't, you know, there's some wonderful things happening in the world, and we need to acknowledge that because it is encouraging and be loving. And the other thing, it's actually the last chapter in the book is, you know, the road to our enlightenment is paved in love. So we've got to remember, we can't walk away from love. Love is the foundation of all of it. Love is not just hugs and kisses. It's the foundation of life. And if we're not coming from a loving place, we're not going to get very far in our evolution. So we need to be kinder to each other, more tolerant with each other. We may not always agree with each other, but who cares? It's more important that we look at our similarities and where we maybe don't agree. You know, I love that line again from the Bible. If you can't love each other whom you see, how can you love God whom you do not see? So we've got to start by really being a lot more supportive and compassionate with everybody around us and ourselves too. We can't be too hard on ourselves. Sometimes we're our own worst critic.
Well, and that's so true. You know, that's such an important message as well. And actually reminds me of part of our earlier conversation when you were talking about meditating and then sticking with the positive messages and not going back to worrying. And yeah. I think, you know, that's one of my practices just to share with you. Is, you know, in the morning, I do this thing where I surrender to the divine, and I have one hand on my heart, one hand on my belly, and it's just this daily practice I've done for years and years and years. And what has just come through lately is almost like this priming of, like, one of my messages that I give in a lot of my own speeches and presentations and interviews is around exactly that. How do you befriend yourself? How do you love yourself? And so bringing that divine in and using that as an anchor to say, today, I'm going to really practice loving myself.
Yeah. And not really in a narcissistic way, in a genuine way. Yeah.
In a genuine way where I'm not looking in the mirror and making all the cut downs. I'm not searching for what's wrong, you know. Instead, I'm saying, look, you know, look at the light in your eyes. Look at the love in your heart. And being in those places where you can be in that place of love with yourself, because I really truly believe as we do that and heal our hearts, then that's also what we're radiating out.
Exactly. Because if we're hurt, we'll project hurt. You're absolutely right. Yeah. So we have to do that. And to realize that's what the essence of who we are. The soul is inherently good. We may do bad things, but the soul is inherently good. And when we can see past the action and see our essence, we're doing exactly what you said. We can see ourselves as who we really are. And it's so, you know, we got to give ourselves the opportunity to do that.
Exactly. So making time to be to have the spiritual life as a priority. And as we're wrapping up, Dimitri, what do you feel like is the essential message that you want to leave with the audience?
Well, there's a couple. Number one, please make your spiritual growth your priority. This is a very special time in humanity. If you're listening to this, it's probably because you have had the awakening and something has stirred in you. You may not quite understand what it is, but don't ignore it. Take time to really pursue it because it can lead to extraordinary things. And to realize that there is this greater road. There is a purpose to life. Life is not random. It's not happenstance. There is a greater power that's working with us, and you need to be in alignment with that power. And I would say the third one is what you just kind of said, compassion, kindness, to realize we're not always going to see everything or understand everything, but take it in rhythm and life will unfold and justice will eventually prevail. The scales of justice eventually will balance out, maybe not the time we want it to, but do the right thing and it will enlighten your aura.
Beautiful. Thank you, Dimitri.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And where can people find the book?
Oh, yes, of course. Well, the book is, it comes out October 20th. So you can pre-order on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Indie Books, anywhere, or call even your bookstore saying, I'd like to pre-order it. Spiritualarts.org is our website. You can learn about our courses. We have these fantastic programs, and the books are kind of like the textbooks for that. We have workshops coming up. Our celebration book launch is going to be on the 23rd. We had, by the way, a beautiful artist. The book is illustrated, and the artist we got worked with a clairvoyant for many years. And he already had this sense of attunement of the inner worlds. And he took the guidance we gave him and drew these pictures as the inner worlds are described. So it's very beautifully illustrated. We're very, very happy with the way the book came out.
So exciting. Well, wonderful. Well, Dimitri, thank you so much for being here with us. Thank you for
our great pleasure
that you bring to the world. And just so thankful to have you here.
Thank you, and for the good work you're doing too.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to The Spark with Stephanie James. Remember that you already have what you need to live a life that is fully lit and fully alive. You're already holding the flame. Now it's time to ignite your best life. Learn more at stephaniejames.world. That's stephaniejames.world. And tune in next week at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, only on transformationtalkradio.com. Shine on!
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.